Peter, it feels like it's been the longest week in all of eternity. And I know you said that the Time Lords on Saturn had something to do with it, but I don't care who's doing it. It has been a very eventful week and weekend. They all bleed into each other at this point. But I feel like we're both standing in a strange place in time right now. You know what I thought about? For basically a whole year, you can clip what I looked like every week speaking and see the transformation over time. You have this archived away for the rest of eternity.
That sounds like a project I'm going to do. Like that, you know, the last couple weeks of the year where there's like not really shit going on.
Yeah.
I'm going to sit down and do a little time lapse of just like one from each episode.
Yeah. You could also, though, you could like put together a historic speech picking words, you know?
Yeah.
But it'd be like 47 years ago. And then it'd be something like, we bought a pocket pussy in the Don Quixote. You could really pull from everything. Mm-hmm. It'd be like a really bad deep fake where each one of the faces, you're like, no, he said this. And you're like, why does he keep very visibly changing appearance? I even trimmed up my beard today a little bit to not look so crazy. We have to talk for a second before we get into anything. Twitter's a mess right now. Fuck off Elon Musk. Really over it. Love everyone on Twitter. Gonna stay on Twitter. There's some people leaving Twitter. I'm not leaving Twitter, but I'm also on Tumblr now. And speaking of this beard, I was looking back at Effie versus Moxley. My beard was out of control, but I made the right choice. And we've discussed why before, and I don't have to get into it here. But being able to go back through sort of a lot of content that Twitter's such a fast-moving platform that it's hard to really keep up with anything.
Yeah.
But Tumblr is full of these like beautiful fan-made edits, these arts designs over things I've done. So it's like I'm actively participating in the content being made, but it's additional content that I can now share to the world through a new official channel. So it's effielives.tumblr.com.
I'm about Tumblr coming back. It's like I don't get me wrong, I like Twitter. I've always been more of an image person than a word person.
It's where we differ.
Yeah.
I'm all words, I'm all stories. You know, it's...
How are you at writing?
Writing?
Yeah.
If I had Adderall, I would be very good at writing.
Okay.
If I... The thing right now is I'm using my unhinged ADD to put me ahead in a lot of other ways. But by not medicating it, there are some facets of me that are not being explored correctly. Like being able to sit down and write for more than 20 minutes. I can't do it. But I'm also able to be Effie. So I don't know. I'm not saying I wouldn't be Effie if I was on Adderall, but it's a different creature.
As someone who is on Adderall for over a decade, I would say you probably wouldn't be Effie with Adderall.
I probably wouldn't or would?
Wouldn't. With a long...
We may have to experiment.
Use.
Yeah, like long term, I would just be cooled like a gazpacho.
Because I feel like my personality didn't come out until I was off of it.
Yeah, I think there's definitely a bit of cueing down the personality, but I think also... You know, there's times during the week where, like, I just have to sit and stare for 3 hours. And I know that's a part of sort of the ADD spectrum. And I think it's necessary, but I also think I would be better at time management. I don't know. We'll see. We might experiment a little bit. We might not. We're having fun right now. But I've been a little overwhelmed lately, Peter. Not in a horrible way, but just in an honest way of, like, there's just a lot going on. There's a lot shifting. And this week, I feel like I had a lot of weird shifts. I couldn't have predicted where I'd be this week, where I was last week. There's no way. So, like, let's go back to the start. Let's cold play this bitch. Last Monday, I got a text message from someone, and we hinted at it on the show. It was from my good friend Amy, who many people may know as Lita. And Amy hit me up and said, do you boys want to go to the haunted house called Netherworld? Now, here's my real honest answer. No. I'm so easily frightened. I've had to pull AJ aside and say, please don't scare me when I come home late. Please don't jump out of the stuff and scare me. I'm easily frightened. I don't like this form of adrenaline. But when your good friend Amy, aka Lita, hits you up to go to the Netherworld, you don't want to look like a scaredy cat. So I tell AJ, I said, do you want to go to Netherworld? He said, yes. And we go to this haunted experience. Now, when I arrive, I see that there are children in Netherworld. And the signs everywhere are like, you can bring kids, but we can't promise that they'll be okay with it. When you arrive, there's sort of a very scary line thing that looks like it's going right into a warehouse. You don't know really if you're just going right into it, but they put you in a holding room first. And in the holding room, there's already people messing with you and pretending to be statues and coming up to you in line. And I'm like, this is bad. This is very bad. AJ sees one of his friends while we're there and says, hey, I want you to meet my partner. And I'm just like frightened by everything. It was not a good time to meet me for the first time.
So you're expecting that he would bring him over and then it would be another worker at Netherworld trying
to
scare
like,
you?
I had no clue anymore, Peter, and it was daunting. It is daunting to be a grown-ass man with facial hair and a big chest and not be able to look anything like... I was looking like a scared baby, and that's fine. We enter Netherworld. Holy shit, dude. This place is insane. There's so many themed rooms. There's so many people scaring me. There's so much stuff jumping out at me. There's decor, you know, in the air. And then you go through tight tunnels. You got to go through these secret rooms. People are jumping out at you. Peter, I've been trying to get my voice back. Netherworld did not assist in the voice. Amy said, why is your voice gone? And I said, all I do is scream and talk. It's all I do. I can't catch up. Peter, this is where I'm going to announce something that I haven't announced to you yet. There will be no new episode next week. We're going to take 1 week off. We may still do an additional bonus minisode for the Patreon, which I'm going to put over right now. Patreon.com/weekendateffies. Someone just won a random raffle for a golden Effie award, the only one in existence. This was a proof concept model when I was deciding the colors. And we went with a more bronzed look for the bust originally, but they sent me one gold one. And I've held on to it for a very long time. And now, one of our Patreon patrons, what do you just say patrons, right?
We need to come up and maybe Patreon folk, you can help us with this. We need a term for like weekenders or which is
week effers.
Week effers.
Weekend effers. I don't know. That's too deep.
I did like you tweeted shirts today for the podcast.
Yes.
And some
they're beautiful.
Oh my goodness. Pryor's
is legendary. He just hit a bunch of stuff for AEW.
Oh, nice.
And then he's doing Weekend at Effie stuff. Cute. I'm glad I keep him in my pocket because he's only going to expand his art further. Mm-hmm. And he just started a new brand called OK Yeah Cool, which I will be putting over on here. It's sort of just his own weird world of the art he likes. I put him in a box and make him do what I want, which works. But when he's free form, he's a wild style child. I love it. Patreon.
Yeah, I did see someone comment and say that Patreon needs shirts that say Effie's favorite sub.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, we need those for Twitch too. And we missed Monday Night Raw this week for Halloween, and we'll get into that. But I will be rolling through with Twitch. I just getting my voice back to normal and kind of trying my hardest on that. I have my secret bee spray here. Beekeeper's Natural Propolis. And then I have this, but I probably should be gargling more with salt water. I went to the doctor though, Peter, and I was told my cholesterol was a little high. And she said, you know, how's your diet? And I said, it's great, doctor. And in reality, I was thinking, I sometimes go a long time without food and then binge eat cheesecake and bacon. I can understand my cholesterol might be a little high. We're gonna hone it in. Me and AJ actually had a conversation the other day about living past 60, which is something we want to do together, I think. And so we're making a few adult lifestyle changes to go better. I've been cooking more chicken and salmon at the house and vegetables. Here's what I've realized as an adult. I enjoy a lot of vegetables. I'm not going to choose them willingly over other things. If it's something, you know, you're at somebody's house, you're eating, you're at a restaurant, it comes with a meal, I love it. But if I'm making my own dinner, I just don't give a shit. And AJ keeps me from running from vegetables. So I've been eating more broccoli and aspergrass, as they call it. The pee-pee veggie.
Oh, yeah.
Aspergrass. And my favorite, green beans with Parmesan cheese.
I love green beans.
Yes. They're magical. Haricot vert. We're going to serve with the haricot vert. It's an artisanal heritage. Haricot vert. Served alongside the protein, which tonight is haddock. From the Côte d'Ivoire. I don't know. That's a weird French guy I just found. Yeah, I've been eating vegetables a little bit. We're trying. We'll see how it goes. Mostly, I just want my voice back.
That's taking a week off, eating more vegetables. That's all perfect Mars retrograde and Gemini shit.
For yeah, you. Is
mm-hmm.
it?
Mm-hmm. Those are the things you should be doing right now.
I feel like I'm on the right path. I'm doing better. We're correcting some bad behaviors somewhat. I shouldn't even bring this up here. This is going to be a long episode, which I'm talking about preserving my voice. And I haven't even really gotten through Netherworld. We're going to talk more about Netherworld in a minute. AJ hid the weed from me. Now, we had a little pen and we had edibles, but he was like, you can't keep ripping bongs and then complaining that your voice isn't good.
Yeah.
You can't keep ripping vapes all day and then complaining that your voice isn't good. And it's like, I need that boy in my life to call me out and to put me on blast sometimes and to keep me in line. I'm going to go back to him keeping me in line in a minute. But Netherworld, we get through this first haunted house and you come out on the other side and you're like, okay, good. They've got donuts and drinks and games. It kind of turns into a fun haunted carnival, which is good because I had just been just scared out of my mind. The final scene with the chainsaws and the costumes they have for these people, they kind of had a Last of Us thing going and they had like the mushroom face people, but they really used the body size of the people in the costumes to their advantage because the little fungus baby who was just a small person, I imagine, you know, not like a little person, but just a smaller human.
Shorter human.
Scared the shit out of me. And they can get right up on you. They cannot touch you allegedly, but I move so much, I end up touching them anyway. And then it's worse for me, but it's not their fault. So we get out of this first haunted house. I'm like, sick. This is great. We'll take a picture. Once again, didn't realize the person in the chair was real. You take the picture and then they scare you. Horrible, horrifying. They also, for some reason, at Netherworld, this is so bizarre to me. There's a giant pumpkin tower and it spits out foam. And so there's like also a foam party kind of going on that nobody's getting in the foam. There's just a lot of foam. Have you ever been to a foam party, Peter?
Once.
It's a nightmare.
It is.
The older you get, the more you go, that's a nightmare.
Yeah.
The things you see in the foam, the things that are hidden by the foam, the things you lose in the foam, and the things you can gain in the foam that require penicillin. Foam parties, very dangerous. And I think the COVID era has, for the most part, ended them. But the haunted house had a foam party tower. And this is not a small tower, Peter. This is a very large tower. Spitting foam from a pumpkin. It was marvelous. So Amy looks at me and looks at AJ and her friend that came with us, Bridget, and we all were like, cool, what a time. And Amy goes, are you ready for the other haunted house? There's another one. Two for the price of one. What a bargain. Fuck y'all. Fuck y'all for this. And she was like, yeah, this one's more like gore and science fiction horror. And I was like, great. This is a nightmare. And we go into the second haunted house and it's way worse. Way more tight and confined, way scarier. And you get to a certain part of it and you're like, oh, it's over. We're leaving. And then a giant demon man jumps out and then a car runs at you. It was horrific. On this one though, they put us in a group of eight because you go in through an elevator that breaks and then it's really bad. A nightmare comes true. There was a little kid with us in the group and he was really screaming. Like his parents should not have brought him to this, but him screaming attracted the scary people, which meant they weren't coming at me as much. And I was kind of trying to play like I was like, I'm the group uncle. I'm definitely, it's cool with me if you scare the kid. And then they would like have to reset so they wouldn't have time to scare me. So would, in an apocalypse situation, would I use a young child as a body shield?
Yes.
Definitely not, Peter. But in the haunted house, would I let him take the heat? Brother, you're telling me? Yeah. I'm letting him take the heat. We survived both haunted houses. And then I think I have a video of this and the Patreon video this week that I've not put up yet. I was still adding to this morning with the beautiful weather outside as I took a scooter over to your house. And
were you editing the video on the scooter?
No. Okay. You can't even film it on the scooter. You have to just like stop and be like, look, it's pretty. And then like get back on the scooter. I'm not going to beef it on a scooter. There's too many people in Piedmont Park just wandering for me to beef it on a scooter without somebody filming it. Like if this was a bad grandpa situation, I'd beef it on the scooter. Congratulations to Danger Aaron from Jackass. Did you hear about this? He did a death match against Drexel, someone I've gotten to share the ring with.
Holy shit.
Who's kind of a deathmatch wizard of weird, terrible things and ideas. Akira helped him out as well. Danger Aaron used light tubes. He sent these boys into a trampoline of barbed wire. There was a lot of wild shit going on, but he held his own. And Drexel, just a marvel of the deathmatch weird Pacific Northwest scene. And the beautiful thing about Drexel is he'll sort of come to you with things that are, they're going to torture him worse in the situation. It's going to be worse for Drexel than it is for you. But I think they used thumbtacks and staple guns, fire. It was a mess. Congrats to him.
Would you ever do, like, Jackass 5 is filming, they hit you up, would you go do it?
Yeah, and I think that they would. The thing is, like, I take a lot of big bumps and stunts, but I don't think that's where the humor and the realness of it would lie. If I was doing Jackass, I know that they would put me with, like, tarantula face tube or, like, lay with these snakes and spiders and shit like that, which is way more horrific. But I don't know, there's some gross out stuff, too, where you sort of see people get, you know, covered in poop and blood, that I think I could survive it, but I would not enjoy it. And that Gemini version of Effie that you don't usually see, back of house Effie, we say, mm-hmm. he would come out immediately. You know, even sometimes when AJ's like filming me at times, I'm not comfortable with it. I'm like, please fucking stop. And it would be like that, but me screaming and freaking out and hopefully not punching anyone. That's like, it's a real threat that could come up if I get pranked or scared too bad. But I guess you kind of, you get what you sign up for, right? You know, I am a jackass through and through. I think there's no way of saying that Effie and most of the modern indie wrestling scene isn't fully influenced by Jackass. And they did have a big WWE match with a lot of wild stunts with Sami Zayn, who's turning out to be the performer of our time. But Danger Aaron went full death, and that's something to be marveled at.
Did you wear a costume this weekend at all?
No, I was the only one dressed as Effie. No, I wasn't. There were a lot of people dressed as Effie and Bussy and many things like that. There were a lot of costumes, but the one costume that stood out to me, someone dressed up as Asmodeus from Dead End Paranormal Park, and it blew my fucking mind, because now, not only is my mark left on Halloween by being Effie, but now things I am lending my personality and voice to are being brought out to the world in a new way in costume form. I did think it was a little odd Halloween night that I was working at Hood Slam and everyone is in Halloween costumes and I'm in a costume too, but it's my work uniform. And there's nothing bizarre about seeing Effie looking like this. I will say I have achieved my final vampire form and I will lean into it throughout the winter, because I am pale as a motherfucker, and it's great for spooky season. I do have to start looking for vitamin D, though. I'm leaning a little too into existing only in night and inside of buildings. Being in an airport, you don't get a lot of vitamin D unless you seek it out. You kind of have to stand next to the big bay windows and just cook while you're eating a bagel. We're going to talk about airport food in a minute. I'm going to take a brief hiatus to get this voice right and pee. Peter, as I return to the area here after our brief hiatus, I'm excited that there's exciting things that happen in my life besides just the wrestling shows. That's what I'm sitting here thinking about. And not to jump too far ahead, but Thursday, I was asked by my partner to go do a charity thing. And I was like, what are we doing? He was like, we're going to go. He's like, it's kind of like Meals on Wheels. He didn't really get into specifics. Maybe he did and I didn't listen, but we show up to Open Hands on Thursday to help out doing the meals, preparing the meals for the people who are dealing with, I guess they use, what is the term? Chronic illnesses like HIV, like AIDS, like diabetes. There's a lot of other things that they help with, but those are kind of their main three. They function in all of the counties that include Atlanta. And we're sitting there doing our, you know, we've got our little hairnets on and we've got to do an instructional video to learn how to be volunteers here, which makes sense. You want to tell people what they're doing. This is a part of his work event. So it wasn't something we didn't just show up, just us. We had his work group there and they put on the video, and who delivered their millionth meal, Peter, but Elton fucking John, man of the hour, man of my life. I realized as I enter now, to Goodbye Yellow Brick Road, he asked a few questions to open the song. When are you going to come down? When are you going to land? I've started answering them to myself before I go out, which is never and never. But in this situation where you're helping people, you're not coming down, you're not landing, but you are keeping your feet on the ground a little bit. And we get right to the assembly line. We're putting together these meal trays, and not going to lie, Peter, I'm crushing it. And I'm crushing it too much, because the lady sees how well I'm doing. And she goes, you, and grabbed another guy, not my partner. He was doing great too, but you got to have somebody stay there to kind of keep it tight. Come with me. You're going to go to food service. And Peter, I don't want to exaggerate too much, but I did perform, I'd say at least a fourth of one of Jesus's miracles, because me and this dude, we created over 2,000 pieces of blackened fish, and we put them on trays 12 at a time, and we stacked them up, and we had them prepared to go into the oven. And look, Jesus did, yeah, he snapped his hands and made 5,000 delicious fishes appear. I don't know how they were cooked. I don't know how they were seasoned, but ours were perfectly seasoned blackened haddock that were going out to all the people. And look, I was told that I should season it how I would. So I am sorry to your future blackened fish meals if they are not as well seasoned as the one you're getting from Effie is. But all of those fish pieces, they were looking at us and they ran out of trays for us to put the fish on. We were just stacking rolling trays. It's going to go in that oven. It's going to cook and be perfect. We're laying parchment. We're throwing fish. We're loading carts. We saved the day. They were like, we can't believe you got this much fish done. And I was like, it's a good thing we came. It was a good thing we came. Afterwards, we hung out with the crew. You know, it's always, I've over time enjoyed less and less explaining my profession to normies, to put it so to speak, where, you know, like you either downplay it too much and they're like, why won't you get into this? Or you're like overbearing and it's the only thing you want to talk about.
Yeah.
Which is like, I live my passion every day. Sorry, you have to have a real job and you don't want to be that guy either.
Yeah.
But it was enjoyable to kind of be amongst real professionals and sort of explain my weird world. I don't even know what it is.
Did you use the stay-at-home boyfriend voice while you're explaining what you do?
I try to be calm about it, but it's sort of like as you're talking to one person, someone overhears it and then it gets more exciting and then you kind of get into it. It was fun, but the day was about charity and giving and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
So it's fun to go back and give a little bit to the people. And I hope that the people eating their fish enjoy it. And if they give a fuck about Effie or not, that's wonderful. We're still helping. It doesn't matter. None of that stuff matters there. We did take a picture. I did put it up on Instagram as a charity. And everybody threw together like over $112 to go directly to that foundation, which is super sick that I can post a picture of myself doing something and people will jump in and also help. Very cool. Friday, though, we went to Florida. And by we, I mean myself and Dylan McQueen. And historically, Dylan McQueen has made fest trips a little longer than they should be. Like last year when he had to get his pharmacist COVID thing redone and was a little bit late to the leaving time. It was just me and him this year, though. So I figured we'll go quick. No, pretty late. So we're getting on the road late as it is. And I want to make sure we get to registration in time. So I'm kind of booking it to Florida. Now, Peter just gave me a look here. And last year we were pulled over and we were let off with just a speeding ticket, even though the car was pungent. In between now and then, I was not as lucky. And Peter, it's looking like I will not be as lucky. Brian Kemp is probably going to be the governor of Georgia. And we need to all go vote, please God. But it looks like the DA is going to continue trying to press for my later edible term. We'll see. And we're going to go into the chart on this a little later to see what this means, because it feels like just a little bump, but it is costing me a large sum of money, Peter. Just a very large sum of money. It doesn't matter. It's fine. As we were getting on the road and we're really into the drive, a big alarm goes off. And we have a big flat tire on the side of the road.
Oh, no.
Now, I will say Dylan slowed us down. I've said that. But I have to give Dylan a lot of credit here. Because while he may be a flaming homosexual, I can say that as one myself, the boy is 6'1 and 6'2 and like 240 and like jacked as shit. and changed my flat tire in 14 minutes.
Damn.
I don't always play the sub, Peter, but he was laying on the ground, undoing lug nuts and lifting this car off the ground. And I was just filming him for Patreon footage going, "You're doing so good. You're doing really good at this. Wow." And I said, "Do you want help?" He goes, "No." I said, "Okay." And I let him do the whole thing. He jacked that car up. He changed that tire. And he goes, "We better pull off and get a new tire." And I said, "Bubba, we're riding the spare until we get to Gainesville, baby." We get to Gainesville. We check in. We go to the hotel. We get our bracelets. And at that point, you know that feeling when you're getting into Fest. We got to go see some bands.
Yeah.
So we made our way back to Bo Diddley, which was beautiful. We were waiting for a lot of people. We ran into many people who we'll talk about in a minute. But we did run into Carlos Romo. Now, currently, Carlos Romo is sleeping on my couch with Cranberry at the exact time. But he's been very helpful since Fest, and we'll get into that in a minute, in getting a lot of things done for me when I was not quite in town yet. Oh, you might have to keep that audio. Mm-hmm. You think they could hear that probably, snap? Probably. Just my neck. What the fuck, Peter? My neck. I love it. So we get to Fest. We run into Carlos. Now, this is more Carlos' scene of music. And he's like, "I've been dreaming of coming to Fest since I was like 14 and it was going on." Like, this is, he loves all these bands. He wishes his band was on it. I thought his band might have been on Fest, but his band was there. They all came from Spain to go to Fest. They got bracelets. It was very good. I ran into our good friend, Hunk Cassidy,
aka
Kyle. And we had a vibrant experience together. It was beautiful. It was intense and overwhelming and loving. What a brotherhood. What a bond. What a joyous trip to Florida. And we watched bands, and I could just stand there and take it in. And it turns out, as we watched the Flatliners and the Ergs and Bouncing Souls, when the Menzingers came on, turns out I do like the Menzingers. I didn't even realize how many times I'd listened to a lot of Menzingers music. And so I was sort of like, "Oh, wow, you know more than you thought." And it kind of reopened I don't want to say that I segment off portions of my life, because this portion of my life has gone on a very long time, longer than most. But there was a time in college where I was much more in tune with the punk music scene and what was going on and bands that were out and happening. And I'm not so much anymore, but it was lovely to go back to that. Now, another wonderful person that I got to hang out with on this Friday night, who was there because they were announcing for Fest Wrestling, is Jim Fair.
Yay!
Yeah, it was magical. I saw them for a little bit when we got there Friday, and I was kind of like off in my own world. We were all hanging out, seeing bands, running around like crazy. Got to see beautiful Evan from Porch Coffin and his bandmate Joey. They helped me out a good bit. They were wonderful. They got my t-shirts for me from Aesthetic.
Excellent. Yeah. Evan's doing...
he's doing great.
Awesome.
He's off of wrestling right now. They're playing exclusively with Porch Coffin. They've been doing more touring. They've got a sick van. They ride together. They're a three-piece, which is the best kind of band there is. You don't listen, once you get a four, five, six-piece, you're fucked on the split and on dealing with people. There's just less of odds that four to five to six people will get along long-term. Three people, pyramids are an unbreakable bond. You know what the drag queens are saying now?
What?
Instead of period, period, pyramid, pyramid. I love it. Like, girl, you going out Friday? Yes, God, pyramid. Like, of course we're going out. So I hope the pyramid spread goes. I've seen a few of the drag queens doing it. Priyanka, Joey J. It's getting over to the gay community. Now, Fest Wrestling was kind of a beautiful Effie's Big Gay Brunch, like, get-together, because we had Carlos there. We had the lovely Veda Scott there. We had Edith Surreal there. We had Billy Dixon there. I love Billy Dixon because she said, "I'm retiring," and then came right back and started running shows and taking bookings again. But her skin looks so good right now. I said, "Did the rest make you look younger?" And he's like, "Of course the rest made me look younger. What do you think? I took 3 months off, 6 months off, whatever it was, and I feel like a god." One day, like my mom said, you should book a storyline where you take time off. One day will disappear, but you're not going to like the Effie that comes back from that break. I got to promise you that. It's going to be another intense fucking world. A lot of big matches coming up, though, where even this weekend, I could feel, and I'm hesitant to use this word because it makes some people mad, but I could feel myself serving cunt. I could feel myself being a piece of shit but like kind of in a fun way. Like it's kind of nice to know in your head, like I'm fully being a piece of shit, but people are still into it. There's a fun run with that. And as Hollywood Effie expands, which I think we'll see more of lately, Hollywood Effie is kind of comfortable where he is. He lives as liquid concrete, like we said, and I'm not doing anything for anyone else. Effie trusts Effie and that's it. And so the performance you're going to get is going to be 100% Effie. All they do is bring me in. And turns out he's a little bit of a bitch. He's got some things to get out. And especially this weekend tagging with Allie, which we'll get to. We both get a little into it. So Friday night, we get to bed. Fest wrestling. I'm seeing all my fun friends. I'm seeing Tony from Fest, who, you know, I've known for 6 years now. A great part of my career and has helped me do a lot of wonderful things, connected me with a lot of wonderful people. And now he has a baby of his own.
Ooh.
And he's running Fest still, the 20th anniversary of Fest happening. He's still doing it with a smile on his face, enjoying it. It was wonderful. But I had a big task ahead of me because we had a fatal four-way match. Eric Cannon, legend of punk rock, first wrestling pioneer, Fest wrestling pioneer. Matt Cross, legend of independent spirit, not a TV guy. He's appeared on a few little things, but for the most part, just travels and lives as a wrestling is forever magical creature. Check out his website, Wrestling is Forever. He has very cool stuff. But he also has a band now, so check out his band. I forgot what they were called. But he's very sick. He does this move where he runs into the ropes with his arms straight out, and his head is in between the rope and his arms are above the rope. So it springboards him back into a cutter. I didn't have to take that. Thank God. And last but not least in this match, Lince Dorado, who is one bad kitty, one bad pussycat. Lince said to me, Lince goes, do you think they'll care if I smoke this pipe of weed on the way out to the ring? And I said, no, Lince, save some for me. So if you watch that, that is real weed when that footage hits IWTV. That's what we do. We had a wonderful brother-brother match at Fest. There's a lot of non-wrestling people coming to Fest. There was already a Battle Royal. There was already some cool singles matches. Edith Surreal and Kimberly, great singles match. Really enjoyed that match more than I even thought I ever would. I was just glued to it. It was magic. But then this four-way, we did everything. We had a lot of stuff, but it was mostly me catching big boys and then posing off a little bit, which I quite frankly enjoy. Now, we finish this. I have a little bit of time to hang out for a second, but I have to leave because the schedule is so tight, Peter. We drive back the 5.5-6 that it takes me because I stop a lot to pee. Hours back to Atlanta, me and Dylan, right after the show, exhausted, having seen bands, sweating, my voice gone more than ever. There's just, you never find a time to rest it. God. And we go back home to Atlanta, drive straight, 6 hours. And I get to bed at about 1 a.m. I've got to be at the airport at 6. Ooh. So I repack all my merch. I get everything together. And I make my way to St. Louis. Now, we're on this flight.
Real quick before we get too further into it. Just because we're talking about Jem, we made an appearance on Dog with the Mullet. Yes,
please check this out. We both picked songs, Peter, more thoughtfully than myself possibly. And got to be a part of Dog with a Mullet, their radio show, which is exclusive to Spotify?
Yes.
Okay, and that's beautiful and sick. You should check it out. I think we had fun.
It was delightful. Your Gemini and my Sagittarius were fully on display entire thing.
Well, I don't want us to be anything else than ourselves, Peter. It wouldn't be fun. It wouldn't be enjoyable. Mm-mm. We're about to be in that deep Sagittarius, or we already entering it.
We're in Scorpio right now, yeah. And we will be getting into Sagittarius soon.
Sorry, Scorpios. I'm sick of y'all shit. I'm sick of it. Oh, give me that Sagittarius. Let me get to Thanksgiving and have a good time. I just want to eat sweet potato casserole. That's what I want to do. Does anybody else feel the same? Sweet potato casserole fans? Not you?
Not me.
Oh, I want it with the crusty marshmallows. I want candied pecans and walnuts. I want some kind of weird crust. I want them souffled up with a little eggs and milk. God, I can't stop thinking about
sweet potatoes. I will sooner eat your dried squid
than that. I've got an extra bag of dried squid if you'd like it, if that works for you. I'm actually just really hungry right now, Peter. I didn't eat breakfast this morning before I came over, so I'm kind of operating at a void. I get to Atlanta, and who do I see but someone who was there yesterday at Fest Wrestling, Heidi Howitzer, who... She got to fly from Gainesville to Atlanta I drove and I was like, what am I doing with my life? She was like, yeah, I just flew in this morning. And I was like, oh my God, what have I done? But that's in the nature of Effie to still be DIY Effie, who's like, I'll just suffer it and make it easier for everybody because I don't want to not look punk for fest. I get on the plane and lo and behold, there's bad weather in the airplane touchdown region.
Oh.
And the pilot sort of casually says, yeah, we're going to have to go to Springfield real quick, but hopefully it's not too long of a break. Not only are we going to another airport, we're going to another state. So we fly over and land in Springfield, Illinois, and then we run into a problem. Here's the problem. They don't have a staircase to get up to the fueling. So they had to go look in the warehouse and find a staircase so that they could refuel the plane so that we could take off. Then we had to wait for the weather to subside. And I want to say, as someone who has experienced raw anger on planes from people who are mad, Midwesterners are the best at it because it is very subdued but thought out before they say anything, and it's incredible. I can't even give you an example of it, but for instance, one time there was that plane to Long Island where they brought a pilot on in denims, and he said, I'm your pilot, because they couldn't find the other guy, and just hearing him go, are you fucking kidding me? You know, these Long Island people were just like, oh, unbelievable, we're going to die. The Midwesterners were more like, well, this is going to add 2 or 3 hours to my day. Would have been nice to know. My uncle on the ground saying there's not bad weather at all. This is real confusing. It was just a lot of that energy. And, you know, I've learned in travel, you fight the travel or you ride it and go, wee, and have a good time. Mm-hmm. I just weed and had a good time. It made me laugh that I was going to be in 5 states over the course of the weekend now, by including Illinois with a touchdown. But we eventually make it to St. Louis. Now, at this point, Allie Catch is going to land in an hour, so we just wait for her to get there. Now, my grand total time in St. Louis, you ready for this, Peter?
Yeah.
9 hours.
Ooh.
Landed at 11, took off at 8. In between then, we waited at the airport an hour. We did not have time to go get food or anything. So I had eaten some airport food earlier. Do you want to know what I had for breakfast?
Yes.
This was real demon energy. It's 6 a.m. I had a sausage, egg, and cheese on a bagel, pretty normal, and a full slice of strawberry cheesecake frosting cake that was just heavy, and it was perfect. I needed that cake, Peter. I survive sometimes exclusively on cake. And you know what? I have to live with the consequences of that, which is my lovely doctor saying, you can't just eat cake, Effie. You can't only eat cake. But I will sometimes eat some cake with the sausage, egg, and cheese bagel and a coffee. So that's kind of what I was riding on. And we got there, and the St. Louis show, 3 p.m. bell time. And in this instance, I was working with Bussy. But the state of Missouri does not allow us to call ourselves Bussy. This is a family-friendly show. We do not want to get in trouble with the state. We do not want to cause issues with the state of Missouri further, because they already...
So the state of Missouri knows what a Bussy is?
Yes. But they don't want others to know what a Bussy is. When I brought my form to the doctor, they made fun of the state of Missouri. So I'll have you know, we are all making fun of you, state of Missouri, but we played into it. It's Halloween, Peter. I guess I did wear a costume. Do you remember Right to Censor? They were a WWE faction, and they wore button-up shirts, white shirts with ties, and they came out to alarm censor noises, and they were here to get the adult content out of the WWE. And there were many members of the Right to Censor, but the ones that we were channeling for this particular event in our sleeveless crop top white button-up shirts and our beautiful purple ties, which I didn't even mention this. I brought the purple boy out a few times now. When Effie's in the purple boy jacket, Effie's a bastard. One of the earliest shows in my career, I showed up and I said, where does talent go? And the woman asked the promoter later, Ed Effie, is he a bastard? If I'm in purple, that Effie is definitely a bastard. I was in purple. We had the purple tie to match the purple jacket. We had the Right to Censor. We explained to the people what's going on, why we can't be Bussy, why I've advertised us as Bossy. I originally, if we weren't going to have costumes, I said, we're just going to come out to the edited version of Khalees and be bossy and be dominant. Because what's wrong with that? We could be bossy on TV. The problem isn't that we're called Bussy. Bussy is adding insult to injury. The problem is they will not allow for intergender tag teams to wrestle the way Allie and myself wrestles, because they're all pussy little babies to the advertisers who pay for their content. And so because of that, they will continue to make content that appeals somewhat to adults who are willing to look past stupid things, but mostly is catered to younger people and children at that content level. There's a lot of blood and violence coming in now, and it's better. But to sit here and think in the year 2022, you couldn't see, you know, a man and a woman fight. It's really ignorant. So in my mind, pussy is the extra offensive we add because we're already offensive to you. We're already too offensive for you to feature in any way. You already say that we have tarnished ourselves by participating and sticking to being a tag team that is a man and a woman. Guess what? We'll make it even worse for you. You can't even announce our fucking name. But now at least the people are into it. So if you try to censor, it's lovely to have a crowd of people in St. Louis, Missouri chant bussy right at us in the ring while we say, we can't even tell you what we're called. They say, we'll tell you what you're called. You're called bussy. And we are bussy. We are beautiful and we are hot to trot. And if you're gay, straight, bi, whatever you are, there's something horny and sexy about bussy for you. And you've got one anyway, so you may as well get on the board, the train, the choo-choo bussy train. Yeah, okay. I'm fired up about bussy. I've always wanted to have a match with the Besties. They're not called the Besties anymore. They're called Spitfire. But Fitchit is off being a single star. But I still wanted Vega. And Vega has now teamed up with Anakin Sadboy Murphy. Now, Anakin Sadboy Murphy is, by all descriptions, a goth twink. And there's one thing. Well, there's like six things I like doing with goth twinks. Mini golf, laser tag, car rides, cooking them breakfast. And then I think beating the shit out of them. And this poor boy, sometimes people think Effie is like just a little comedy act. And then sometimes I'm like, I might beat the shit out of you. And nothing was done without any consent involved. This boy will tell you, he has a death wish. He wants it real. And I told him, you better hit me right back, motherfucker. You better bring that energy back. Peter is taking care of me right now. Anakin Sadboy fought back and fought back. And in the end, Bussy was defeated. I was kicked in the back of the head. I was dumped thereafter on my head. They had a manager who helped them. Now, did I punch the manager in the face at one point? Yes. Yes, I did. Did I also kiss the manager on the lips? Yes. Yes, I did. He has a show in the St. Louis area that he is a part of on radio called the Rizzo Show or the Riz Show. And Warhorse has been on there before. I think Dan the Dad's been on there. But he is also a wrestling personality now. And if you're going to come in and be a part of the show, I want to make sure you're a part of the show. So I punched him. I kissed him. Anakin, sad boy. Well, Allie got a little distracted and got a big tongue kiss on Davey Vega. Anakin thought, I'll do the same and try to distract Effie with a kiss. And usually you'd think, well, is Effie going to kiss the goth boy twink? No way, bro. Blocked. Blocked the kiss. But that's how I got turned around and shoved into their manager. It messed up. Got a little kiss on the lips. It distracted us. Things were downhill from there. We couldn't come back. Once our match concluded, I got to watch a really incredible special match. Now, Peter, I don't usually do this, but I was thinking this week because I wrote a few things down that I haven't even looked at or referenced yet. Oh, this is the one thing I wrote down. Best matches of the week. There were two. The first is, as I mentioned, the Ida Surreal Kimberly match. It was very, very good. It will be on IWTV through Fest Wrestling, I believe. And the second is this one. It was a last daddy standing match or last man standing match between Dan the Dad and Cody Coco Lane. And they fucking went in. Thumbtacks, sledgehammers, ladders to the floor, thumbtacks on the floor, crazy chair shots. It was incredible, emotional, violent.
What do they do with the sledgehammers?
Hit each other in the head with it. Now there's, you know, the gimmicked wrestling way of doing it. There's a few other ways you could sell it, but it is a violent affair.
But they're actual sledgehammers.
They are actual sledgehammers. One of my favorite workout devices to have at home is a sledgehammer and a big tire, but I don't have either of those right now. I used to do some really crazy sledgehammer workouts in Florida where the mosquitoes would just eat me and I was taking a lot of weird supplements, so to say. So I was just in the backyard letting it out, a weird single man who was trying to get his fucking brain in order. So I love sledgehammers. I love them as weapons as well. Triple H made sledgehammers famous as a weapon, but Dan the Dad made them sexy. That's what I'll say. And he was in this like hot greaser outfit. It was like Saturday dad mowing the lawn with a tight t-shirt and those denims. My God, Dan the Dad. Match of the, that was top of the pops, as they say. Directly after the match, I watched their match, but I got a little time to go to the merch table. I was pushing it though. And luckily, Heidi Howitzer had a flight about the same time. She was going home to Kansas City. I, however, was continuing my journey onward, going to Oakland, California for Hood Slam. Now, I did miss Monday Night Raw this week. Our schedule's been a little weird, but I can't turn down working in Oakland, California for the Dark Fucking Sheik and the Stoner Brothers for Hood Slam's special Halloween show. Now, you see, I'm frantically Googling here. I'm very fascinated by venues, as we've discussed here before. The venue we got to do is one that I wanted to do for a little bit, called the Crybaby. Have you ever heard of the Crybaby in Oakland?
Mm-mm.
I'm going to just pull up their calendar. It is beautiful. Their design work is lovely. They have a lot of different events there, but I've seen a lot of bands come through and play here. They have a lot of weird, I'm looking at the schedule now and I'm not seeing anything that jumps out, but I've seen a lot of bands announce on tour they're playing the Crybaby, and it's a very cool venue. But we threw a wrestling ring in there on Halloween. Like we mentioned earlier, everyone seemingly was in a different costume than themselves, other than Effie, who was in fact Effie. And it was advertised that Effie was coming back to Hood Slam as Effie, so I wanted to give them that. There are a lot of people who like seeing Effie. But my opponent was not themselves. They were in a costume. I was fighting Ken from Street Fighter. And you know how that goes. Ken has the supernatural ability to do the Hadouken. Hadouken. And I did not want to be hit with the fucking Hadouken. Right? Obviously not. And the people, though, they love me. They like me. They want to see me beat up Street Fighter Ken a little bit, but Ken is over. Street Fighter Ken is hella over. So they also want to see him do the Hadouken. So I try to stave him off as long as I can. I even did pull my ass out at one point. I keep telling myself that I'm doing less gay stuff in the ring, and then I think about it objectively, and I go, no, you're being more violent in other parts, but you're still doing gay as fuck shit in the ring. I did stick my ass in his face, but he eventually caught me with a Hadouken. Did I kick out of Ken from Street Fighter's ultimate finish? Yes, I did. But in the end, did my pride get the better of me? I tried to Hadouken him, and what happened? It didn't work. I don't have that special power. I have a lot of different special powers. I have an immaculate gaydar. I have laser vision, and I have toes that are made of steel. I don't know how this fits into the X-Men universe, but I don't have Hadouken power. I tried to fool him in the end, but I was defeated by Ken from Street Fighter. Many people would say, Effie, how can we take you seriously if you lose at a Halloween show against Ken from Street Fighter? And I say, Ken from Street Fighter is a cultural phenomenon. How could I defeat Ken from Street Fighter, who has a 30-year history in the Street Fighter franchise?
You can't kill an idea.
You can't kill an idea, no matter how it is presented or who is performing it. Effie is also an idea, but it built off of a human potential, not built off of the pixels that will be immortalized in the Street Fighter universe throughout time. So yeah, of course I lost to Ken. Did I Jeff Jarrett the booking opposite Jeff Jarrett the booking? Yes, I did. Hey man, you're Ken from Street Fighter. I think you need to win tonight. That motherfucker. If you ever want to think that being Effie is not effective, that old piece of shit, Jeff Jarrett, has now worked in the Hammerstein Ballroom for GCW, one of the largest independents to ever exist, has worked for the WWE, has performed in Ric Flair's supposed last match, and has now debuted for AEW. Yeah, you can say he has a career before this, but I was thinking about it the other day, Peter. Where was Jeff Jarrett in the minds of the people on December 31st, 2021? Nowhere. Gone. A joke. A gold-hawking salesman who took the bag and ran away from everyone he'd ever worked for. And now on January 1st, 2022, as we enter the closing parts of this year, thinking back to how it began with a guitar around my neck, and now November of the same, guess what? He's doing it again on national television in the same character he used against me. Do I regret anything that happened? No. No, I don't. But, and this isn't about Jeff Jarrett at all. This is about Effie being the strongest launching pad besides possibly Joey Janela. There are no two greater launching pads in America than Joey Janela, Nick Gage, and Effie. And I would like to point this one out as one of my prime examples. I got Jeff Jarrett back over enough to where people would forget that he was going to show up and rob them. And he still did it at WWE. And Tony Khan said, oh yeah, it's fine. You can come do it to me too. I just got robbed by CM Punk. It's cool. Come on in. Water's warm. After the lovely time with Sheik at Hood Slam, which we also saw a movie then, and we've got a lot to talk about on the minisode about content and movies and horror, because I've seen a lot of things. But we did go see Smile together before the Hood Slam show. After that, though, 5 a.m. flight to Las Vegas, connecting to Atlanta. But Effie fucked up. Now, last week I was asked, or a week before, last week I was asked to procure a ring for a commercial television event. And I made it work, but as the schedule got confirmed, I figured out I was not going to be there as this thing needed to be set up. So, while flying back from California, while also having young Carlos Ramos arrive at my house while I was not there and have my lovely partner take care of that, I was coordinating the professional wrestling ring for a Shaquille O'Neal commercial for some kind of car shield thing. I don't know, for something. And God bless Rico Gonzalez and his team and my boy Ox, who handles all the rings in Atlanta and the surrounding areas, who is wonderful. They got it done. And by the time I landed and got home, Carlos had helped get the dogs out. He'd help with the ring. We went back up to the venue. Everything was sorted. And then the next day, you know what I did? I went back up there, and last night, I helped put that ring back on the truck. Still yelling. Still trying to figure it out. Peter, what an exhausting long week. What a time. What a Halloween. What a... Was there some kind of moon or something?
Oh, we did just have an eclipse, and we're about to have another one next week.
Yeah, what a fucking time. You know what I'm going to do after this? I'm going to go eat a melange of foods. I'm going to hopefully take a little nap, and I'm going to reset my life. Peter, we have to reset sometimes. Mm. It's tough. It's hard. But I think we're going to make it. I think we're going to be okay. Listen to me. Listen to my voice. We're going to have to do a whisper episode soon. Are you familiar with some of those ASMR Twitch streams? Do you think we could get a little microphone that looks like an ear and I could just lick up the ear? Do you think people would like to hear me go on the microphone? It sounds like you don't think it's sexy when I do that. But Peter, that may be all I have left. If Dead End Paranormal Park gets renewed for a season 3, I'm going to have to tell you something. We might have to just put Effie on radio silence to get back to my full demonic form, because I can't get there yet. I'm working on it.
Might have to deep fake you.
You know, I think it'd be cheaper just to, like, hire another dude. I don't know. But I have been enjoying seeing the crossover. And it's a magical season. And I have full trust in Effie that we will be okay. Effie's handling it. Sometimes he just needs to look at it from a new perspective and find out what the next step is.
Do you want to do some questions?
Yes, please.
Patreon.com/weekendateffies is our Patreon. We do questions on there. I do little astrology updates for everything. If you're wondering why the world seems very messy at the moment and while you're being called to rest,
you predicted this.
Exactly why. I didn't. trying to help people move through that, but we are in a time period right now, that is for sure.
Sometimes a little awareness sets to acceptance and tolerating things.
That's
especially with, you know, stoicism being a part of that. I'm just like, I just have to suffer through this thing.
It's the biggest consolation for me is just the fact that there is something telling me this is happening right now.
Right.
And then, okay, well, then I'm just dealing at that point. Okay. Dear Peter and Effie, what are your favorite Halloween treats?
All right, y'all, I gotta commit to it here. I am and have always been a huge candy corn fan. You're looking at me like I'm disgusting. I love the pumpkin candy corns that are waxy. I love the regular candy corns. I love the chocolate candy corns. They've got like an extra honey candy corn because it's kind of a honey candy. I might go get some candy corn after this from the CVS.
You do that.
I will. I love candy corn.
Did you know that all the candy corn was actually made back in 1923? And that every year after Halloween is over, there are candy corn gnomes that come around and they collect all the candy corn and repackage it to sell for next year. Because the thing that happens with candy corn is you buy one, you buy a pack of it, you eat one of them, and you go, oh yeah, I forgot I ate candy corn.
All right, you ready for this hot take?
Yes.
M&M's has this orange Dreamsicle M&M for the holiday season. And I've been eating handfuls of that mixed with candy corn. It's a perfect treat. Now, I want to get into some, like, holiday foods, though, because my household has always been a ham household over a turkey household. But I will tell you this. I roast a fucking delicious turkey.
Okay. We could still be friends.
You're not in the ham
world.
I'm
not in the ham. I'm not really in... I like bacon, but pork chops, no thank you.
I love pork, Peter. And I'm hoping one day to eat the ultimate pork, as we've discussed.
Human.
But, you know, it has to be consensually. I'm not kidnapping anyone. We are going to talk about barbarian as well, which I think will be fascinating. But I love a holiday ham, a big honey glazed ham, but I really also love a juicy turkey. Mm-hmm. The thing is, most people fuck up turkey, and they make it dry as shit, and I'm over that. I want a wet turkey. I want you to put 2 sticks of butter up in that turkey skin. I want you to fill it with lemons. I don't eat stuffing out of a bird. Stuffing is a separate item.
Mm-hmm.
But like I said, I've got to have sweet potatoes. I got to have green bean casserole around this time of year. Chili. I love a chicken chili this time of year. Just as a comfort item.
Yeah.
Also, I don't know what it is. My mom used to make it. It's a weird beef and bean, slightly sweet, with ketchup and barbecue stew. That's like not quite a Brunswick thing. I love it. I should make some this time of year.
Do you want to talk about the GCW Fight TV?
Yeah. We should talk about GCW Fight TV. This is massive. I don't think people realize that the Fight TV Plus is also going to include a lot of the combat sports and stuff. And for the past, you know, 3 or more years, you've had to purchase each pay-per-view separately for GCW. So our fans have been really... it's supporting us big time. It's not like another service where all the content is built in. And now they're going to have the back catalog as well. They are expecting 4 million subscribers in the first year to Fight TV Plus. And they've always been so wonderful about promoting our shows. And now this is the big one. You can watch every single Effie's Big Gay Brunch. Every single Effie's Big Gay Brunch is, hi, beautiful, on the back catalog of GCW. All the historic matches, all the crazy moments. You can go back in time and watch Effie tap out Eddie Kingston. You can go back in time and watch Effie join 440. You can go back in time and watch Effie do weird death matches. You can go back in time and watch all of these crazy moments. Go watch with me and Nick Gage. The other promotions that have joined, Black Label Pro, Wrestling Revolver. I'm trying to think of who else is on there. There's quite a few that have jumped and are going to be on the service. So there's going to be a lot of Effie content on Fight Plus. I think it's going to be magic. I hope people check it out. And there's even a free trial subscription so you can watch stuff before you even know. But there's also like all these good shows, but also like some weird matches you can go back and watch at like no real financial consequence to yourself. And I think with it being more open, there's going to be a lot more content that comes out of those old shows because it'll be... accessible to a lot more people. And hopefully people who are pushed the material from GCW going forward are going to enjoy what they see. And it's much more accessible for everybody to get on the train now.
Yeah.
Because we're not slowing down. We're going back to the UK, just announced. I'm going back to the UK December 1st. And actually a little bit before. I'm doing the first ever A Night with Effie, which is a full interview, Q&A, stage show thing taking place at a Coyote Ugly, I'm fairly certain.
So you're going to do like a 4-hour Kevin Smith style.
We're keeping everyone there until they're pissed drunk.
Yes.
I think that's something we need to do, Peter. And I think I need to look at opportunities built into these collectives or built into other things where we could have a live Weekend at Effie's
and
include some guests. Yeah. You know, I didn't bring Carlos over here because he was sleeping, but I think like in the future, I'm kind of inspired by Mark Maron, of course, but some of those live WTFs he did with 4 or 5 guests coming in and doing a few minutes with each and just having our vibe with it as a live event,
yeah.
I think would be really cool. I think people would enjoy it. And I think would it'd probably be more entertaining than I even think. Just we'd be going for it and have some surprises. I think it'd be fun. But doing a lot of that in the UK coming up, it's going to be a big task, I got to tell you. But we're going to make it happen. My schedule after Thanksgiving is kind of a nightmare. So wish me luck, I think.
Are you looking forward to Thanksgiving?
Very much so. We're going to spend it with his folks.
Nice.
Which is nice. But after, it's like tough because, you know, we're going to go there for like Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. But then after that, I do First Wrestling in Minneapolis, and then I do Beyond in Massachusetts, and then I fly to the UK directly after. I do the night of. I'm doing a seminar. I'm doing a VIP meet and greet. I'm doing 2 shows, and then I come back to St. Louis, and then I come back possibly to the Jeffersonville Arena. I've tried to convince myself of whether I should or not. But I think if people buy enough tickets, I would. But I've had some bad experiences there before. Like when a child lit a cigarette out on me. Fucking Billy Starks. She's going to Japan. Incredible. Very excited. Just found out. Congratulations to Billy Starks on her Japanese excursion. And Willow, who is over there now. And Max and Heidi Howitzer, who I believe are going over there soon together as a unit.
Excellent.
It's a vibrant time to have the borders back open. And I think the visa stuff helps as well to not have to require such hurdles to jump over. Although I kind of like that I jumped them. You know, it's like an exclusive club.
Yeah.
Yeah, Fight Plus is going to be crazy.
We talked about Twitter and Tumblr earlier. Do you have a favorite thing that you've seen as far as Effie-related fan art on Tumblr?
I love getting the high-def GIFs of these moments and getting kind of like, people will put subtitles on them or people will put their own kind of spin on them. But in reality, seeing all the fan art of me and Jon Moxley kissing that's like artist done and drawings and paintings and pictures, it has been heartwarming. And like, while I had my lips on Jon Moxley's lips together, our lips connected through what they call a kiss, all I could think was like, this is a Tumblr dream come true. But since the beginning of time, you know, Jon Moxley, since his existence as Dean Ambrose, has been huge for Tumblr. The Shield was huge for Tumblr. Dean Ambrose, huge for Tumblr. And now to see that I've become a part of that legacy, to continue horny gay fan art from Jon Moxley, I think it's marvelous. I think it's magic. And congratulations on your new contract, buddy. I hope I helped you negotiate higher pay, because you said, if you don't give me what I want, I'll go do this stuff again and I'll still work here too. And I like to be used as a bargaining chip. So I hope I helped there. But the art has been beautiful.
Effie, what is your typical workout routine like? How do you find time to exercise with everything that you have going on?
So my workout routine has been terrible lately. I have not gone physically into my gym more than once in a week for the past month. I've been wrestling a fucking lot. I've been doing a fucking lot. But typically, if I'm going to the gym regularly, I will do the Stairmaster for the length of a Terry Funk match. I will work out via weightlifting for the length of a pop album like Lady Gaga, or, you know, sometimes Slipknot, the first Slipknot album. But that's how I kind of time it, is I just work out until it's kind of over. And then I go sit in the sauna for as long as I can until my eyes almost go cross and my brain shuts down a little bit, because that I think has been the key to cardio of like, you're working up the cardio, then you're doing the weightlifting to keep your heart rate up, then you're in this fucking heat swamp. There's nothing I'm not prepared for in the ring when it comes to that. And then obviously like just going hard in the ring and walking as much as I walk and traveling and carrying 240 pound bags around places. Sometimes they roll, but a lot of times it's heaving it up and down stairs. So sometimes I'm doing airport workouts. I would prefer to be in the gym more often, but I don't ever get mad at myself for missing it, which some people are like, oh, that's crazy. You got to stay to a routine. You're a professional athlete, kind of. But I have learned that self-acceptance, whether I gain a little weight, whether I lose a little strength, as long as I am able to function in my job professionally and keep everyone safe and entertain the way I entertain, I'm not that worried about it. But I do feel better when I'm working out. And sometimes that just means like we go for a long walk with the dogs. Sometimes that means I go on runs on my own. Sometimes it means I do a little yoga at the house. I try to stay active. I feel like I am very active, but I'm not beating myself up for not having a particular routine. I just like keeping my body moving, you know?
Yeah. What's the sketchiest thing you've ever seen at Waffle House?
Whoa. We may have been the sketchiest thing many times. That's what worries me a little bit. Is like there are sometimes I enter Waffle House as myself, not thinking of anything different. I do remember the days of being able to go to the Waffle House, especially in high school when we would go, and they would let you smoke inside. So we would buy pie and coffee and maybe food, but you just sit there and chain smoke with your friends for like 3 hours. And it definitely has led to my voice being gone now in some facet. But there was a time where you could just kind of be sketchier at Waffle House. Now, like post-pandemic Waffle House, holy shit. You can't, a lot of them are takeaway only. A lot of them in Atlanta don't stay staffed as much, so they're not open as often. It's tough. So I miss the good old Waffle House, but I will still go there all the time if I can. I love it. I can't think of the sketchiest thing. I'm not choosing not to answer this question, but I've been to Waffle House so many hundreds of times that I imagine there's like probably something in my brain that I'll remember, but this might help me gel it. But I know I have gone sketchy into a Waffle House with too many wrestlers or too many band people or just too many of my sketchy friends, possibly on drugs back in the day, like just being the worst. So maybe we are the sketch. It's like I kept saying to AJ in Japan, we're the scary thing. We're the thing they're scared of in the night.
All right, we'll end on this. After watching Ninja Fuck Mac win the Noah GHC junior heavyweight title last weekend, I was wondering if you had a favorite Ninja Mac moment or story from times y'all worked together.
I've told the Ninja Mac crap story on here, haven't I?
I think so.
So here's another Ninja Mac story. Ninja Mac says to me, I think I'm going to sell my car and go to Japan and flip this merch and live. And it sounded crazy because it's like we're still in the COVID time. He says, I'm going to do a tryout for Noah and see if it works. So this man does what he says he's going to do. And then I got to see some of the numbers. My man is killing it in Japan. When Ninja Mac says, always bet on Ninja Mac, he means it. And he follows through with it himself. Ninja Mac has said so many outlandish things to me before, whether it be describing a move he's going to do, whether it be describing something he's going to do with his career, or describing how he's going to flip some merch or get something like along those lines. Ninja Mac is... he's never been wrong and he's never strayed from his vision of what he should be. And he was like, he told me a few weeks ago, he was like, I bet if I worked even harder, I could win a belt at Noah. And look what he did. He pushed on through it. My man, he does great promos. The Mac, I think he does it like this. The Mac pose. So sick. Japan loves Ninja Mac. And I'm honored to see him just kind of like bet on himself and do it. There's not many people out there who just bet on themselves that hard. And my man is showing that there's proof in the pudding. God, I'm hungry, Peter, for pudding.